And what I want to focus on tonight is the fact that he is everywhere. Do you believe that God's presence is everywhere? Amen. We can shout amen, glory to God, but you understand he's everywhere. That means he sees what you do behind closed doors. He's everywhere. Yeah, we can shout and thank God that he's everywhere when we need him, but he knows what you're doing, young person, when you're behind closed doors. He knows what you're doing, man or woman, when you shouldn't be talking to that other man or woman that you're not married to. But we'll just stop right there. I'm already preaching, and you need to be shouting right now. But God is everywhere. And I'm glad that just in the right time, in the right place, he knows when to show up and let us know that he is all-powerful. This past Saturday, I had a great honor to perform a marriage ceremony. Some people would have said it was a funeral, but somebody's funeral. But anyway, it was a beautiful marriage ceremony. And yes, thank you for the drum roll there. So on the way to the marriage ceremony, I got a call from a lady that needed to be visited in a nursing facility. She was very sick, and they didn't know if she would make it or not. And I said, well, I'm on my way to a wedding. And I promised that after, I was in the afternoon, had to go to revival that evening where Calvin Ray was preaching. And so I said, in between services, I'll try my best to make it there. So I went, and God's timing is always perfect. We know that. And so I pulled into the nursing facility there in Willowsburg, Ohio. And as I got out of my truck and was walking into the front door, I noticed there was a gentleman and a lady there by a vehicle. And the lady was down on the ground, and they were elderly. I knew they were elderly and could tell that right away. And I noticed that she had fallen, and the gentleman, it was her husband, was trying to pick her up, and he was unable. He was just very feeble, unable to lift her up. And I said, do you all need some help? And they said, yeah, we sure do. And I asked them, I said, well, are you coming or are you going? I said, I don't even know if I need to put her in the car or take her out of the car. I said, so we kind of broke the ice there, and they said, no, we're going into the nursing facility. I found out later that this woman had Alzheimer's, and this was her husband that visited her every day and took her to the dollar store just to try to help her and encourage her. He said, I do this every day. She won't remember tomorrow, but I remember, and I'll do my best because I made a vow to her many, many years ago. And so we got her up, and we put her in the wheelchair and got her into the nursing facility. And he made this statement. He said, brother, I appreciate that. And I told him what I was doing there and praying with somebody else. And he said, you know, you were here at the right place at the right time. And I said, well, yeah. I said, God put me here at the right place at the right time. And so as I was driving from that nursing facility and driving to revival service that night, the Holy Spirit just transported me to Psalm 46 when he says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. That tells us that God is always in the right place at the right time. He is always at the right place at the right time. Do you believe that he will never leave us, nor he will forsake us? But do you believe tonight with all of your heart that he is always in the right place in the right time? He's always in the right place at the right time when it comes to your salvation. He is. You remember in the book of John, we find three different things tonight, and I want to share those with you, and we'll go home. But first of all, he is in the right place in the right time when it comes to salvation. In John chapter 4, we have a very familiar passage of scripture, and Jesus just beginning his earthly ministry, and the Bible says that he made this statement, I must needs go through Samaria. And we know that he wasn't supposed to go that way, but he went out of his way. And when he got there, it was a time when women usually didn't draw from the well, but there was one woman that he was going after. And we know that the Bible says that his thirst drew him to that well because she asked the very first question. She said, you have nothing to draw with. And he said, I'm not coming here for water. I'm coming here for your soul. I'm paraphrasing there. But the Bible says that he went and sat on a well. Imagine that, a well sitting upon a well. But he sat on that well and at the hottest part of the day and waited on one woman to come and make sure that she understood who he was and what she needed in her life.
I would say that Jesus Christ showed up at the right place at the right time. If he would have come a few hours earlier, a lot of women would have been there because that would have been the normal time to draw. But that woman wouldn't have been there. But the time that she came, she was ashamed of what she'd done. And we know the Bible tells us that she had lived a life of infidelity and immorality. But aren't you glad that you can't have too much sin in your life? That Jesus won't come to where you are and say, I still love you. I still care about you. And he always shows up at the right place at the right time. And he showed up for this woman. And when she understood who he was and finally understood who he was, she said, would you please give me a drink of this water? I don't want to thirst anymore. He said, you've been living after this water that'll make you thirst, but I'll give you living water that you shall never thirst again. In fact, I'll give you living water in your soul that'll spring up into everlasting life. And my friend, that's what he wants to do in your life tonight when it comes to your salvation. He showed up tonight. He's at the right place at the right time. And may I remind you, you are at the right place at the right time. If you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, if you're bound in addiction, if you're bound in immorality, if you're bound in sin, it doesn't matter. God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And he died just for you. And he's here tonight. And he wants to save you and give you living water that you'll never thirst again. He shows up at the right place at the right time. How many of you can testify that he showed up for you at the right place at the right time? How many of you by raised hand would testify and say, I was saved at a church house, at a church service? Could you raise your hand at a church service? I figure most of the crowd, probably 85% of the crowd, was saved at a church service. And I was as well, September the 6th, 1981, as a five-year-old boy. Thank God that he showed up on September the 6th, 1981 and saved me. I wasn't a sinner like many people were. I didn't commit a lot of sin, but I knew I needed Jesus and I was scared to go to hell. And thank God he saved me that night. And I'll never forget it. I remember just like it happened yesterday. And I'm telling you, when Jesus comes into your life, it don't matter how young or how old you are, you'll never forget when he showed up at the right place at the right time. So how many of you were saved at some place other than church? Okay, that's a pretty good percentage of the crowd. It's about 10 more percent. So that means there's probably 5 or 10% here tonight that's not saved. But man, I don't know the conditions of these people. I don't know where they met God, but I can probably tell you this, just from my experience, some of them were probably saved at a hospital bed. Some of them were probably saved maybe on their job. Somebody maybe was even saved in a jailhouse. It really don't matter as long as you meet the conditions. Guess what? He will show up at the right place at the right time. You say, Brian, when is that right place and when is that right time? I'll tell you when it is, when you realize that you're lost. When you realize that you need Jesus and the Holy Spirit reminds you how much he loves you and you can have a better life in Jesus Christ. Somebody shout, I'm busy preaching right now. He shows up at the right place at the right time when it comes to your salvation. He also shows up at the right place at the right time when it comes to your sickness. John chapter 4, we have the story of salvation. In John chapter 11, we have a perfect illustration of how he shows up at the right place at the right time concerning sickness. You know the story. I don't want to bore you with all the details, but you all know it. You could probably quote it with me. And how his friend had died. His friend was sick, rather. His friend was sick, and they came to him and said, Lord, your friend Lazarus is sick unto death. And we know that he could have came. Actually, he didn't even have to come right then. He could have just spoke the word and he'd been healed. But the Bible says that he tarried. He tarried. And people, they debate forever. They'll debate till the end of time. Why did he wait this long? Why did he? Well, the Bible tells us why he waited. It was so that they would believe on who the Lord Jesus Christ was. And so the Bible says that he tarried and came on the fourth day. And we know what Hebrew tradition tells us, that they weren't really technically dead to the Hebrews until the fourth day, because they believed that the spirit of the soul hovered around the body for 3 days. So he wasn't technically dead to the Hebrews until day 4. So that's why he showed up on day four, because he wasn't technically dead to them until day four. Because at day four, all hope was lost. Day four, they didn't have nowhere else to go. Day four, that they were at the end of miracles, supposedly was over. But then Jesus shows up at the right place at the right time and says, hey, I don't worry about days. I don't worry about hours. Time is nothing to me. And the Bible says that he got to the tomb of his friend, and he gives us some beautiful imagery here. John 11:35 said, Jesus wept. And they will debate over that. Why did he weep? Why did he cry? You're missing the point, folks. The whole reason why he cried was to show us that it's okay to cry when it comes to times of sickness and times of trial. We don't have to just be men and women and be strong as far in our soul. No, it's all right to weep. It's all right to cry in times of sickness. It's all right to not understand why. It's all right to understand and feel that maybe God has forsaken it. But I want to remind you tonight, God always shows up in the right place at the right time, because the Bible says, remove the stone, and they remove the stone, and he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says that a Lazarus appeared in the front of that tomb, and he was still bound. You say, Brian, how in the world can a man that's wrapped up get from a laying position and end up at the front of the tomb? I'll tell you how. He didn't walk. The power of God raised him up and brought him to the front of that tomb. And the Bible, Jesus says, loose him and let him go. And he walked around, and he thanked God. Jesus raised him from the dead at the right place at the right time. And I don't care what sickness you're going through tonight, if you need healing in your soul, I promise you, in his way, in his time, for his glory, he will show up in the right place at the right time. Amen. But our problem is, we're an impatient society. Our problem is the theme song that's been on every commercial for the last 2 or 3 years. I want it all, and I want it now. Ain't that the theme of the United States of America? And that's the theme of the church world today. I want it all, and I want it now. May I remind you, God is long-suffering, and he is merciful, and he is patient. And I'm telling you, we have to understand God's timing is not our timing. His ways are higher than our ways. And when he does it, in his will, in his way, in his time, for his glory, we can look back at the end of it and say, you know what? That had to be God. That's why he does what he does, when he does, and how he does it. It's so that we can look back and say, I had nothing to do with it. Doctors had nothing to do with it. It all comes from the hand of God. Amen. Hallelujah. He shows up in times of sickness. We had a dear lady that was got very sick all of a sudden, and she has family in our church, and so they told us about it, and she was put on a ventilator just very suddenly, and they didn't think that she was going to make it through the evening. And so we went and visited her and had prayer with her, and the next day she got a little bit better. The next day she got a little bit better. The next day she was out of ICU and just kept getting better and better. And they thought, we have no idea. She wasn't even responding. They thought it was over. She had a massive heart attack and some other things that had happened that they thought there was no way she could survive. But when she finally was able to sit up and finally able to communicate, she told her family, she told us. She said, I knew I was going to be okay. I said, well, Sil, how did you know that? Because Jesus showed up at the foot of my bed. And I saw him at the foot of my bed when I was the sickest part of this whole process. And he said, Sil, no need to worry. You're going to be okay. I'm right here with you. Yeah, you're going to be fine. You may have to go through a little bit here, but you're going to be fine. And I told my family I was going to be okay. I told my family we was going to make it through this. And you say, Brian, how in the world could that have happened? I'll tell you why. Because he shows up in the right place at the right time. He'll show up for you. Just got to hold on. I don't understand a lot of things. I don't understand why people have to go through the things they do. But I try not to focus on the things I can't explain. I try not to focus on the why nots. I try not to focus on the negativity. I try to focus on the fact that he's here
and he'll be there tomorrow. He's never failed me before, and he'll never fail me now, and he won't fail me tomorrow. He'll show up in the right place at the right time. He shows up at salvation. He shows up at sickness. And finally, he'll show up in the right place at the right time when it comes to his second coming. Yeah. Yeah, he will. He will. He's coming. That's the point I'm trying to make. He's coming. And it'll be at the right place or in the right time. We know where the place will be. Because, you see, you do? Oh, yeah. And Jesus told us. Yeah, in the book of John. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He told us he was coming back. Then he gave us several parables and illustrations of how not even the angels in heaven know the day that he's coming. Well, you say, Brian, where is he coming back? Well, if you just go to the next book, it tells us. When he was standing on a mountain, they call it the Mount of Ascension. And as he was standing there, and he began, 40 days after he rose from the dead, he began to ascend in the clouds. And the angel said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing? This same Jesus that you see going up shall come again in like manner." Now that's just two verses. There's plenty more that'll tell you he's coming. But see, the thing is, we know, don't know exactly when, but we know the times and we know the seasons. And I'm telling you, you don't have to be a Bible scholar to understand. This world is just about to end. There's nothing preventing him from coming back. Nothing prophetically that is keeping him from coming back. I believe, I don't know how you feel, this is just my opinion. I think the only thing that's maybe holding him from coming is the prayers of the saints that's saying, "God, just hold on. Save my family before it's too late." Because he's compassionate. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he will hold off as long as he possibly can. But I'm telling you, his second coming will happen in the right place and at the right time. But you have to be ready. Question is, are you ready? Are you ready? I only know of one person in my life, it just happens to be my great-grandfather, that actually told his family when he was going to die. He was sick and dying of cancer. At the beginning of the week, he told our family, I wasn't even born yet, this was many years ago, he was very young, in his early 50s, and he said, I'm going home Friday at 8:00 in the evening. He told the family that, and of course, great Christian man, he taught all of our family and taught them how to sing parts and play instruments and things like that. And so they believed him. And as he was getting closer and closer to home, and as the day was approaching, just exactly like God had showed him, and as he told the family, Friday night at 8 p.m., he rose up in his bed, took his last breath, and went home. That's the only person I've ever, maybe some of you have met others that have that same experience. But I'm telling you, we do not have that luxury. Most of us don't. Calvin Reese says a lot, and it's a familiar saying, most people die with their shoes on. That means we die unexpectedly. No man knows the day or the hour, the Son of Man coming back. We know that, but you have no idea when your death appointment's going to come. We all have our goals and thoughts in mind. We all have our plans and what we like to work out. This time of year's big for sports fans, isn't it? Yeah, they call it March Madness. Guys are mad for even worrying all about this stuff. It don't matter. But they fill out these brackets. And everybody wants a perfect bracket. I looked it up. I was teaching to speaking at a school the other day, and I was looking this up for some young people. And I told them, you know, your chance of filling out a perfect bracket is 1 in 9.2 quadrillion. That's not going to happen. And I said, just like your life, you can fill out a perfect bracket, but it's about the same amount of odds that that's going to happen just the way you think. Because we have no idea. This is your life. This stage is eternity. This stage is eternity. This is your life. This stage is eternity. This is your life. This stage is eternity. The problem is you don't know how close you are to the end of your life. I'm telling you, when that time comes, death will come in the right place at the right time. And if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, you may feel otherwise. I don't believe there's any more hope. I don't believe there's any more hope. I believe if you die without God, you will live eternally in hell. But as I told the other night, hell has to get bigger to accommodate you. Heaven's got plenty of room. So why don't you come and get saved tonight? You say, Brian, why tonight? Because it's the right place. And it's the right time.